Thank you, dear Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family and gave me new hope, said that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its riches untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding He still cares, I bow my head and say a simple prayer. Now with all my heart, I thank you, Lord. Now with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its treasures untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding He still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, I thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its treasures untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. No turning back, no turning back. No, none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. No turning back, no turning back. That's the story of my life. I decided one day to follow Jesus. And for years, till about early 90s. I never journeyed all alone. And then the Lord brought you on board. And about whenever. And no none go with me, still will I follow. But for 10, 15 years, I was all by myself. Mm-hmm. But none go with me. It's, to me, it's real. You know, I'm not just singing the song. It's reality. And there we were. And ever since then, we've been hanging out together. And we're on this journey together now. Mm-hmm. No, I can see that. I can actually say the none go with me because for 12 years or so, I was hoofing it alone. Upon the mountain they followed the Lord for days. Deep from the hunger, he could not pat them away. A little boy had some fishes and a few loaves of bread. But how could so many with just so little be fed? He held them toward heaven with hands that had not yet been nailed. Did watch him work wonders, but surely this time he would fail. When he reached it to them, they could see down deep in his eyes. They always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving till our hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want was removed from their eyes. They can always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I fail him so often, sometimes I go faint in my heart. He's been so faithful, he's always done more than his part. He never leaves me, though I've often strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving till our hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from our eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I feel him so often, sometimes I get faint in my heart. He's always so faithful, he's always done more than his part. He never leaves me, though I've often strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving till our hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from us. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving
till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh, how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply.
How great it is to serve a living God, who knows each bread I take and every path I trod. How great it is to serve a God that's real, who sees my every tear and he knows just how I feel. How great it is to serve a living God, who knows each breath I take and every step I trod. How great it is to serve a God that's real, who sees my every tear and he knows just how I feel. How great it is to serve a living God, who knows each breath I take and every step I trod. How great it is to serve a God that's real, who sees my every tear and he knows just how I feel.
And I've got
so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise God for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And I got so much to thank him for, so much to praise God for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. But for the blood Jesus shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there'll be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, that's all I'll ever be. But for the blood that cleansed and set me free, but for the blood Jesus shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there'll be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, that's all I'll ever be. But for the blood that cleansed and set me free, but for the blood Jesus shed on Calvary tree, that for the blood there'll be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, that's all I'll ever be. But for the blood
that cleansed and set me free.
Going home, there is nothing to hold here. I've had a dream of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There's nothing to hold me. I've got a home in that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home. Going home, there's nothing to hold me. Cause I've got a friend of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Fear not them that which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'll try a different translation. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Like you know, they threaten you and all that. That's, we talked about that enough. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Und fürchtet euch nicht vor denen, die den Leib täten, und die Seele nicht kennen täten. Fürchtet euch habe viel mehr vor dem, der Leib und Seele verderben kann in der Hölle. Heavenly Father, we just read your scripture here, Lord. I just pray you'll help us to expound on it. With all the controversy going on around the world about death and hell and eternal hell and eternal damnation, all these things, Lord, is out there all around the world. Everybody's talking about it. Then they go to these philosophers and these laws of fear and deceivers, and they try to get the answer from them, Lord. But we want to go direct to your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to remember what the prophet for the age said to us and the chief apostle. We remember what they talked about, this very subject here. We just pray you'll help us to expound on it, put it out there just as clear as crystal, the way you want it to be put out there, the way you've allowed us to see it through the ages of time, about this very important subject where it says, fear not them that kill the body. And we look throughout biblical history and we see how these people stood their ground because they would refuse to bow down to these antichrists that are trying to bluff them and trying to intimidate them by killing the body and by promising to kill the body. All these things, Lord, we have it right here in our fingertips from you. Give us this here scripture, fear not him that kills the body, but fear them which is able to kill both the body and soul in hell, Lord. We just pray you'll help us to gift that, and I pray you'll gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a very controversial subject. Is there a hell? Is there eternal hell? Is there eternal damnation? Is there eternal life? All this stuff. You go out there and there's a... I know the Hutterites, they believe, they tell them that the hell is eternal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How can hell be eternal if it says here, fear not him that kills the body, but fear him that has able to destroy. Well, once you destroy something, then that's the end of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to go to the scripture to find exactly out what this thing is here about hell and heaven and all these things so people don't get the word. Because if we go back to the teaching of Paul from time to time,
he had to come back and set the record straight about the resurrection and things like that. People were getting very discouraged. They didn't know what's going to happen. And he came back and they told him about the resurrection. The people that die, they're only going to sleep. The people that are born again, people that are Christians, they're just going in the ground. And that body goes to sleep until such a time as the resurrection comes. Mm-hmm. And he had to come back time and time again and set the record straight. And what we're doing here now, we're trying to set the record straight about what's going on around us, what we're surrounding us, because we come out of that system of deception of such magnitude. That other, I think, it's first-class deception. It's orchestrated by Satan, the Satanist ahead of it. And you got to establish it in your heart, even though you've been deceived and even though you've been brainwashed to think that that's it. It's not it. It's Satan is in charge of that thing, just like he's over every religion out there. They're all Satan is behind it, because that mass of deception, because they're weapons of mass deception, just like Jesus said, that in the last days the deception be of such magnitude that it would even deceive the very elect if it were possible. But see, God has some people that is predestined, they cannot be deceived. And that whole mechanism, that whole religious mechanism out there is instituted by Satan to deceive the very elect, if it would be called. But now here there's a controversy on with the when you die. You know, if you're born again, like throughout the grace age, like there's 2,000 years of grace. And within that grace age, it was the Holy Spirit was sent to draw out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. The highest calling that you could have is to be a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that throughout that millennium, you're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the highest form that you can be is to be part of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's even a higher position than John the Baptist had, because Jesus said back in his day, John the Baptist was the greatest of the great. But he that believes on the Lord and his new era, he is greater than even John the Baptist. See, it changes. But the highest calling that anybody can have is to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, you do exactly what they say in Acts 2, the earth, when Peter was, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter was asked, what must we do to be saved? And he just simply came out with a formula that was instituted in heaven, and he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost is going to lead you and guide you into all truth. And that's exactly what he's done with you and I. We were allowed the Lord, by his grace and mercy, we surrendered. We allowed the Lord to do with us as you see fit. Then he took us, and he took us out of that religious club, that religious cult that we're in, and then he put us on this here journey that we're on. And then through that journey, we found out exactly the importance of water baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we did that while we were under the grace age. The grace age lasted, was only on for 2,000 years. Like it says over in Hosea, after 2 days he'll revive us. After 2 days he's going to go back to the Jews, because when the fullness of the Gentiles will have come in, and that happened October the 15th, 2021, that was it. After that, it's absolutely impossible for anybody to ever become part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we took that advantage. We, by the grace of God, he opened our understanding before October the 15th, 2021, and we were now involved. We were now, as we surrender and allow him to lead and guide us into all truth, and then we became part of that nucleus of people that's going to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, the highest calling that you could ever have. And we allowed him to do with us as he saw fit. That's why we keep saying, Lord, do with us as you fit. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, because we have to be that in order to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, because there will be no rebellion. There'll be no Lucifer in that heavenly kingdom, because God's going to make sure he's going to work it over so all that rebellion
then each one of us is going to be flushed out so that we can. You can't go and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. You still rebel against everything and you mock everything that God is trying to do. But see here, we've been called out to do exactly what we're doing, and we're just obedient to the Lord. This is not our program. He just woke us up one day and told us to go up against expose that hunter, I think, for what it is. Expose the spirit that's driving the force. That's the driving force behind that religiology that's all out there, and that's what we're doing. We've been called out to do that, and now we have the answer. What is this about hell, about eternal hell? Is it eternal? Is it just thing? No, hell is only forever, and forever is a space of time, because the Bible says Jesus Christ will be a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, he was the high priest for 2,000 years, and on October the 15th, 2021, he went off that seat of mercy, and he is no more ever, throughout eternity, he will never be a high priest anymore. That thing has done served its purpose in the mind of God, because it's the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and now it shifts gears. Now it goes into something different. Now he's going back to the Jews for 7 years. But within that period of time, there's an invitation going out, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And whoever can hear what we're saying here, this is that invitation, what you and I are telling, we're the leftover, what's left over from the grace age, and now God, rich in mercy, does not want nobody to go to hell. He wants everybody to make it to make sure that they don't have to go to hell. And now he's got a olive branch, and he puts it out there. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him that does a thirst come. Let him that heareth say come. And now this program is on full swing. Let them that heareth say come, and come to the living water, come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that is all that's left. You can never become a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. But you can be a guest, and it says, whosoever will. That's why, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus. He wants everybody in heaven. But he knows very well not everybody's going to go to heaven. So that's why he's put out his olive branch here and he's closing Jesus down. That's why he moved on us back in the early 90s to prepare us to tell the people all around the world what this whole program is about. Hell is not eternal. Hell is only forever. And then when you back in the day, when you accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you did the Acts 2:38, you repented of your sins, and you became a part of that nucleus of people, and then it's called, if you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, and do exactly what it says, he will lead and guide you into all truth, but you have to be obedient. You have to be surrendered. You can't go rebelling. You're not going to tell me what to do and things like that. You have to be totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jesus said, as my Father gave me my kingdom, that's how I'm going to give you your kingdom. How did his Father give him his kingdom? He was obedient right up to the death on the cross, and that's the way he's going to give us our kingdom, if we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we allow ourselves to be led by his Spirit right to the finish line, he that endures to the end. And it's just that simple. But see, going back to that destroy both the soul and body in hell. See, for 1,000 years, everybody that dies is going direct to hell if you're not born again, if you don't fit the criteria. If you haven't accepted the message for your day, if you haven't have a gut-wrenching love for truth, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die, then you're going down to a place called hell. Your body goes in the ground, but your soul and your spirit, it does die. The soul goes to a place called hell, and there it's going to be tormented, and then at the end of 1,000 years, hell and death is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is where the body and the soul is going to be destroyed. At the end of that, however long it is, I don't know how long, because there's some apparently that are going to be in there longer than some, until that forever is done in your life. If you're really bad and then a lot of shady things, then your soul and your body will take longer to tear, to break down, and to destroy both the body and soul. And that. But it's only forever. It's only for a space of time. It's not there throughout eternity. It's only there until, like Jesus said, he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not, he'll have stripes. But he that knows it and doesn't do it, he's going to get a double dose. Let's say he's in there for 1,000 years, then he'll be in there for 2,000 years. It's just a matter of however the Lord, on that great white throne judgment, whatever he has meted out for certain people, they'll, like I say, they'll be in there longer. But eventually, as time goes on and out, eventually that lake of fire is going to destroy both the body and the soul and hell, and then that spirit. See, we're made up of three parts. We're body, we're soul, and the spirit. The spirit never dies. Once that thing is purified, and the body and the soul is completely destroyed, and hell and that lake of fire, then that spirit goes back to God who gave it because it's completely purified. There's no more draws on it. It's just that simple. And I don't know how simple you could put it. Maybe you can explain it better than I can. But it took me a lifetime to get that because I grew up in that Hutterite colony and they told us that hell is eternal. It's only just a fear-mongering thing. And eventually it has in it. Eventually your body and your soul is going to be destroyed. And that's why Jesus came so we don't have to go to that place called hell. And that's why he put in so much effort. That he allowed himself to be crucified to take our place so we don't have to go to hell. And the only sin you can really commit is to reject that. Reject the truth for your day. Reject what Jesus Christ came to do. And he came to give us the truth. For each generation has a level of truth. And if you reject that truth for your day, then there's only one place for you to go. That's down to hell. Hell and death. And then eventually, like I say, after the millennium, that great white throne judgment, where everybody is judged and everybody is resurrected, even the ones that are burned up and incinerated, they're all going to be resurrected, and then they're going to be before that great white throne judgment, and the books were opened, and they were judged according to their deeds, and then they're going to go into that lake of fire to be destroyed, and to be eventually there's completely no more memory of that individual that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just that simple. You reject the Lord, he can't help you. You reject this truth, he cannot help you. Because there is no help beyond this here truth that the Lord moved in us back all our lives. We were predestinated to do what we're doing. And then he brought us to the ministry, Brother Branham. He brought us to the ministry, Brother Jackson. And now he's moved on us to have these sessions every day. We call it our daily bread. And now all you got to do is believe it. You don't have to go through what we had to go through. All you have to do is believe it. And then if you have a compassion, a feeling for your children, bring your children around and teach them the same thing. And then that's the way it goes. And then if you do your part, then when you breed your last, when that day comes, when the rapture comes, your whole family structure will be there. If you care at all about your children, then you would do it just for them. If you don't do it for your own sake, then at least do it for their sake, because this is exactly what we're telling you, exactly 100% the truth. God has a program, and he made, before he set that program in motion, he sat down and he made himself a counselor. And we're now right here at the closing days of time, where all this is coming to fruition. That's where we are at time. And now, like I say, when somebody dies, if he's not born again, if he's rejected the truth, if he sits down and mocks it, the very thing that could take him to the next level, and he sits and he thinks it's a great cool thing to mock us, well, he's going to have to pay the consequences. It doesn't bother us none. We're not being affected by their mocking, but they're just going to have to go to that place that's called hell. That's just that simple. And their soul and their spirit goes to hell the minute they die. The body goes into the ground, and then on resurrection, that body gets thrown into that lake of fire if he has rejected the truth for his day. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. People can make it quite complicated, but it's really not complicated. Everything in God, In life, all makes sense, and you can see the same process in life as you will see what happens with when God destroys the wicked. There's the same process that things go through. Like I was listening, I've been seeing it for a while online here and there, that Kirk Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people probably recognize him and know him. I don't really follow him, but when it keeps popping up everywhere, I thought, well, I'll see what this guy has to say. Well, everybody knows him from making the movies Left Behind.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he was the main character in there on Left Behind. And anyway, so he has this podcast or his show. I don't know what it's called. Like I said, I don't follow him. And I guess his son must have asked him a question about hell. So anyway, they did this intensive studying of the scripture, and they came and they were kind of debating it, I guess you would call it, because if you don't have the concrete answers, then I guess you're kind of debating scripture here and there and there and everywhere, and in the end you really, really don't have the answers and you're back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with philosophers. Like back in the days of the Pharisees, the Pharisees are not even a genealogy of line that you will trace back to the Old Testament. It's really a line that popped up after the Maccabee hour was around 160 BC, around that era of time. And the Hasmonean dynasty arose from the Maccabee family. There came this Hasmonean dynasty, and out of that came the Pharisee line. They were scholars. They studied the Torah, and they studied the scripture, and they studied and they dissected it here, and they dissected it there, until they came up with this ideology. This is how it is. And that's how these teachers and these philosophers are in this day and age. And he mentioned one of his his favorite mentor as being John McCarthy. Now, these people, they can only do what the Pharisees of old did. Mm-hmm. They take the scripture and they dissect it. They pull it this way, they pull it that way apart, and this way and that way. And then at the end, they really don't come up with no concrete answer. And that's just a fact. Now, back in the day, we decided to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you decide to follow Jesus, there are different levels of following Jesus. Now, the people that you can see out in the world system, like this Kirk Cameron, I'm not knocking him or I'm not talking bad about him. I'm just know that there are of a certain category of people. They follow these philosophers of that day and hour, just like people followed the philosophers of the Pharisees of that day and hour. They were scholars. They were highly theologians, studied in the scripture. They knew every scripture, every detail, every comma, every dot in the scripture. That's how much they know the scripture. And that's the same way with John McCarthy, and that's that Kirk Cameron's mentor. And he was going on about how these men, like he doesn't want to go against these men because they are people that have really thoughtfully observed the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And they have came up with this conclusion that they just didn't come up with half-heartedly and carelessly. They really studied it out and really analyzed it out, and they came to that conclusion about hell. And they believe in a hell, but I believe that they believe that hell is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the scripture, when you will see, we were all we don't know anything about God unless God allows us to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really follow Jesus, like I said, there's different level of Christianity, but if you really decide you're going to follow Jesus, and there's nothing in this world that's going to stop you, those philosophers fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
The things of this world fall by the wayside. And guess what? You become the outcast of society. People will not listen to you. They will listen to these philosophers. They will not listen to you when you decide, I have decided to follow Jesus all the way. No matter what a Pharisee or a philosopher will say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's what we did. And you know what God brought us to? To the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson.
Amen.
The outcasts of this philosophy and theologians of this hour. They were the outcasts. And that's where God brought us to. And those men were the scribes of our day and hour, where God revealed that word. And that brought out of these, out of his storehouse, both old and new. They didn't have to go study and analyze the scripture. God give it to them by revelation.
Amen to that.
And that's how we came to know the things that we know, is by what God allowed, God gave in this Laodicea church hour to that seventh star, that angel that represented this church hour. And that angel spoke through Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And through those men, we were allowed to see what hell is all about. Hell is a place in the center of the earth. And nobody can dispute that. It was created, like Jesus said, for the devil and his angels. And those that hell, after the millennium, will be taken, and all the subjects in it, because that's what hell is, right? Hell cannot be anything unless there are subjects in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are subjects in hell, and those will be cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something that's going to be throughout
the
eternity.
The fire is eternal.
Uh-huh. But the subject in it will be destroyed. When
mm-hmm.
something is destroyed, it will be no more.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we're made out of these three. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And the body dies and it goes into the ground. But on resurrection, that all comes together, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And those that will be part of the second death means, when you die not knowing the Lord, that's the first death. And when you get cast into the lake of fire, that's the second death.
Mm-hmm.
And that death will destroy those wicked, the angelic, those demons, the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and destroy. And even humankind that were wicked, that did not do anything in this life, did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that God is not willing that any should perish. And God provided a way. And if people reject that provided way, they will end up being wicked and will be cast into that lake of fire at the end of the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because during the millennium, there's still going to be people that die. So then after that, we can be cleaned up. And then it will be destroyed in that lake of fire, which is an eternal thing. But the subject in it, that punishment is not eternal. Because when something is destroyed, it's done away with.
It has an end.
It has an end. So the only thing that will be destroyed is the body and the soul. They will be destroyed. They will be no more. But the spirit is the life in a person. The demons have a spirit. That spirit has to be purified, because that spirit came from God. And God is eternal. But that spirit will have to be purified. And however long it'll take, if it takes thousands of years, if it takes millions of years for some subject to be purified, then that's how long it's going to be. It's just a sense of being purified. Like you take certain oil. They talk about the Venezuelan oil as a very dirty oil. And it needs a certain refinery to refine that oil. Mm-hmm. Not any refinery can do that because it's so dirty. Some oils are very clean. Like, I believe, like, Alberta oil is clean oil. Mm-hmm. It's cleaner oil than the Venezuela, and it doesn't need such a intense processing to clean it out. Mm-hmm. So I see that oil needs a better mechanism to clean it. That's how the devil will take longer to be purified in hell. That's this, like I said, there's things in nature that you can see the principle of God, and you can match it up to how God works in his ways. And God wants us to get to know him because we're created in his image.
See, we're tying everything back to Scripture. Mm-hmm. Jesus, before he went, and I've said it over and over again, but it needs to be repeated over and over again, because before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "This is eternal life." We all want eternal life, like these people that we know, that Honest from Homeward, and that Randy. These are people that we know, and now they're dead. They're no more. And now, whatever they did with truth for their day, well, that's going to be up to that they know in their heart before they die. Whether they rejected the truth, whether they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, then they go direct, their soul and their body go right into hell, and there the torments are, and they're in there until after the millennium. And then that soul and that body and that spirit, they get all three of them, get cast into that lake of fire, and there they're going to be destroyed, like you said. But see, we tie it all back to this is eternal life. But Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life. Once I leave, the program continues on, and then he said, this is eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And then he says, you can go back to Revelation chapter 1 on the island of Patmos, where he came down and he met John there, and he said, and he allowed him to see the seven church ages, the seven angels to the seven church ages, and here at the church age of Laodicea, that angel just took the vocal cords of Brother Brenham, and then and anybody that believes what he said is going to have eternal life according to the Scripture. This is eternal life. This is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And believe on them means that you're completely listening to what they have to say. And see, then he sent Brother Brenham, and he took the vocal cords that angel took the vocal cords of Brother Brenham, and until he died, he used his vocal, and then he died, and then he took the vocal cords of Raymond M. Jackson. That's that simple. And then he preached for 40 years, and the people that believed what Brother Jackson said, they had eternal life by the Scripture. And then Brother Jackson goes off to sea, and then God was doing exactly what the Scripture said. He was looking for that individual. Who is then that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord has now tested, and he's going to see who's going to qualify to go and then deliver meat and due season? And he found you and I, whether it's you or I, he has to be somebody, because who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his master had found faithful and wise to deliver meat and due season? That happened to be Paul and our lot, because as Brother Jackson left, everybody was tested. We didn't know what's going on, but see, we came out through all that. We didn't fall for after 3 days, we didn't fall for after 2 days, and we didn't fall for all that junk that came down the pipe, the cut off for the Jews and all that garbage that is trying to teach. We separate ourselves, and here we are, and now the Lord has given us the qualifications, the license to deliver that meat and tell the people the truth. What has been given to us through those seven church messengers, through these angels. And that angel of Laodicea, he took Brother Branham, and he goes off. He takes Brother Jackson, and he goes off. And now we're doing the finishing touches. We're finishing that thing out. And if you reject that, and you think you're cool sitting down and mocking us and making fun of us and calling us everything under the sun, that's going to be for your demise. And there's only one place for you to go to hell. Out to hell and death, and there, your body, eventually, you're going to be 1,000 years in and how, and then you go and you're thrown into the lake of fire, and then they're completely destroyed, your body and your soul. I don't know how long it'll take, but whatever, at the end of all that process, that spirit goes back to God who gave it, completely purified. And, just that simple. I don't know how simple to put it. But see, to get through to people that are so brainwashed and intoxicated from telling people that hell is eternal. Hell is not eternal. Hell is forever, and forever is a space of time. Jesus Christ will be a king forever. But he'll only be a king for thousands of years until that kingship has served its purpose. And then he hands the kingdom back to his father. And like I say, the Bible says he'll be a high priest forever. Well, that high priest position has done served its purpose. And God gave us insight to know exactly the day when that young kipper was on, and the day when Jesus Christ went off that seat of mercy, and he reached over and put on his kingly robe, and he is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he'll be in there for thousands of years. But the Bible says forever. Well, forever is the space of time until it has served its purpose. You'll be in hell forever until it has served its purpose and your body and soul is destroyed, and that's forever for you. And then that's where it goes back to God, who's eternal, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. But it took me a lifetime to learn all that. I first had to get brainwashed, all my ideas and all the things that I'd was taught over the years, just had to flush them out and believe what that prophetic and that apostolic ministry had to teach me. Other than that, I didn't know nothing when I came to the brother, ministry of Brother Branham. He told me about the church ages. He told me about no eternal hell. He told me all these things, and I believed it. And on these merits, I have eternal life because I believed that apostolic and that prophetic ministry, even though it cost me everything. I didn't care what it cost me. They could kill me if they wanted to, because I was ready to, I wasn't afraid, where it says, fear not him that kills the body. Of course they did all their bluffs and all their tests and all their garbage, what they tried to throw at you, to try to intimidate you, try to finish you off. Of course they did that. That's what the devil does. And then if he can't intimidate you, he'll try to demoralize you. He'll try to lie all kinds of things about you. He'll try to implement in the hearts of people that this is the Shekinah program. That you're you can't even go there with what the filth that they think about us. But see, we're about the Lord's vision. That's what the devil does. If he can't railroad you, if he can't fearmonger you, if he can't intimidate you, if he can't do all these things to make you subject to these thugs they call themselves preachers, then he's going to do everything he can to try to make you irrelevant. And then he'll work you over, and then he'll try to direct you out to left field, and then he'll bring people in here to lie up things about you. It's just that simple. But see, we're decided to follow Jesus. We're decided to stay the course. And by God's grace, we'll just try our level best to endure to the end. And hopefully, if we get faithful, we'll maybe someday hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But until then, we just got to fight on. We don't have a ticket to glory yet. It says he that endure to the end. But we'll, like I say, we'll try to do our part. And by God's grace, we'll make it. And that's what he's called us now to do, to deliver this meat in due season and to tell the people all around the world what's going on, where about that eternal hell. Is there eternal hell? No, hell is forever, and forever is the space of time. And that these two people, I don't know where they're at. Honest from home, I don't know if he gave the Lord a chance. I don't know. I went up to see him here in the hospital. He was here in the hospital a few years back, and I went up to see him, and I guess I got a reputation that I'm concerned about the people's spiritual well-being. I was barely in their home. We got our preachers. We homos are fighting. You know, just his way of expressing. He wasn't going to listen to what I have to say. And I didn't go up there to try to preach them. I went up there because my brother John, he's one of his buddies, you know. They always find his good timers, you know. So he told me to go up and visit him. So I went up and visited him, and like I said, one of the first things he said, me homos up, like, no matter what you tell me, I'm not going to believe you. Well, he died here last week. They buried him, I think, yesterday sometime, and time ago, and I don't know where he's going to go. Well, that's between him and God. I'm pretty much sure. I didn't hear no shockwave that he all of a sudden embraced what I have to tell him. that he embraced your throne, so there was only one place for him to go. If you reject truth, if you reject Jesus, if you reject the truth for your day, well, you're off to hell and death you go. That's a good place for you, because there's only one place that's worse than hell. And I know hell is bad. If, let's say, hell is only forever, it's only a space of time. But if you happen to be in heaven, and you're not ready to be up there in heaven, that's a very bad place to be amongst a bunch of people that are Christians, that are believers, and you know yourself and your heart, you're not part of them. And if you would have to spend eternity in that position, it would be a very bad place to be. Because, see, if you know what I'm trying to say, you don't want to be in that kind of company if you're not born again, if you don't love these people, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. The worst place for you is to be up in heaven, but you're not going to get in there with that kind of an attitude. If you know what I'm trying to say, hell is forever, but it's only a space of time. Heaven is eternal. Once you're in heaven, you're there throughout eternity. And that's what you and I, that's what we're working for, because we decided to follow Jesus, like that song where it says, "Mir nach spricht Christus unser Herr." Jesus wants to go out before, and he wants you in that heavenly glory. He wants eternal life for each and everyone, but not each and everybody wants it. They want their good times and things like that. So we're just trying to set the record straight. Hell is not eternal. Hell is forever. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and give you thanks, Lord. Back in the day, we decided to follow Jesus, and though none go with us, then we will follow, Lord. And you brought us to the righteousness for our day and hour, Lord. And when one day I asked you, Lord, why you put us together, and you spoke to my spirit to preserve this truth that was delivered. And you delivered to the prophetic ministry and an apostolic ministry of our day and hour. And that's what we're preserving, Lord, is telling people the truth, Lord, and so that that it's available for people out there, what you've done, and the righteousness for their day and hour. You allowed us to deliver that meat in due season, Lord. For our day and hour, we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.